revisit some thoughts that I shared with you once upon a time. Many years ago at the University of Chicago Divinity School, they used to have a day called Baptist Day. And on that day, they'd bring in fine speakers and they would have picnic. It would be outside on the grass and the speaker would have the mics going and the loudspeaker system going. And Chicago Divinity School brought in Dr. Paul Tillich, who actually I studied somewhat in school along with a number of others. And it was a different age, by the way. And Dr. Tillich spoke for 2.5 hours. I hope you won't be disappointed if I don't go quite that long. And he brought a bunch of philosophical proofs and comments. And Dr. Tillich had a brilliant mind, and he knew it. And so after this, the major part of his argument was that a historical resurrection didn't really happen. It was all sort of spiritual. And after he finished saying that Christ, in fact, didn't literally rise from the dead in a physical resurrection, he turned to the people who, some of them still trying to understand some of the things he said. He said, "Are there any questions?" And there was silence. It seemed like forever to the people. It was probably 30 to 60 seconds of silence. And this old black man suddenly got up and he walked to the microphone and he said, "Dr. Tillich, my question is a simple one. I ain't never read them books you read, and I can't recite the scriptures in the original Greek. And I don't know nothing about Niebuhr or Heidegger. All I want to know, this apple that I just ate, was it bitter or sweet?" There was another period of silence. Dr. Tillich paused and answered, "I can't possibly answer that question, for I haven't tasted your apple." Man took his apple, put it back in his bag, threw it down, and then he said, "Neither have you tasted my Jesus. Neither have you tasted my Jesus." The crowd went wild. And Dr. Tillich, in his argument, had suggested that a personal relationship got in the way of understanding the full philosophical treatises made and a host of other things. And he dismissed the fact that at central to the Christian faith is our relationship with the Lord Jesus, who rose from the dead and is alive. For we, the believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Another philosopher, much before Tillich, said human things must be known to be loved, but divine things must be loved to be known. And it comes out of a relationship with God that we taste and see that God is good. That we taste and see that God has entered into our lives as well as our world and encounters us and empowers us. And the God who was dead is alive. And though we be dead, we shall be made alive. And those that went before us. I was thinking back to how our Lord Jesus made this true, how he made it real to people. I remember an artist once looked at another artist's picture of Jesus. And he said, if you had loved him better, you would have painted it better. That may or may not have been accurate. But this love of God comes and it fills us and empowers us and it makes God known. And I got to thinking about how people discovered who Jesus was. Remember Palm Sunday? The children sensed his glory. And they couldn't stop screaming it. And it really aggravated the high priest and the Pharisees. And they said, Jesus, stop them. What did Jesus say? If they be silent, the very stones would speak out. We fast forward to the crucifixion. We see a Roman centurion, a soldier's soldier, and he beholds what's happening. He sees the dignity of a dying man. He sees the kingship of a person whose circumstances will not rule him. He sees this dying man saying, Father, forgive them. He sees him say to the thief, today you shall be with me in paradise. And then Jesus cries out. And the centurion listens and says, truly, this man was the Son of God. Earth shook. The stones cried out in an earthquake that got everyone's attention. By the way, if you've ever been in an earthquake, it gets your attention. He cried out that much, but in a way that pointed to God. We go to the days following, Jesus has died, he's buried in the tomb. And we see how the various disciples discover that he is risen, that he's come alive. Do you know what the first words of the risen Jesus was? In Scripture, what are the first words? Essentially, why are you weeping? The first words are spoken to a woman, Mary, and he comes to her and he says, why are you weeping? And she goes on to say, they've taken my Lord away. And then she realizes it's Jesus, and she seeks to embrace him. And she calls him teacher, and she realizes he is risen. She knew Jesus in her tears. Not just the comfort that he brought on the day of resurrection, but the comfort he brought when she began to be his follower, his learner. So she knew him in her tears. Now I was thinking of Peter. If Peter, we know, denied Christ three times, did you ever let someone down that you cared about a great deal? And then you couldn't face them? As a youth, I spent a great deal of time in trouble. And the principal liked me so much that he'd send notes home to my mom and dad, inviting them to come see him. Or her, at least if they wanted their son back in school. So I'd hand the note, and I knew this was not going to go well. So I, actually, the first thing I did was thank God my father was a ship captain and he was at sea. But the second thing I did was hand my mother the note, and I felt profoundly guilty. I had let them down another time. And Peter, who loved Jesus so much and so boldly, he wants to come back to Jesus, and he feels so unworthy. So like with John, he runs to the tomb. John was a faster runner, but Peter was bolder, and he goes straight into the tomb, and he sort of gets it, and he sort of doesn't. I love the part where he comes to them when they're fishing. Gives him something to eat. And then a little while later, he's talking to Peter and he says, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "You know that I do." And by the way, he asked him, "Do you love me?" three times. And three times, Peter betrayed him. And then he says, "Feed my sheep." And Jesus had just fed Peter. To be in fellowship, in the New Testament, implied like a table fellowship. It's the people you cared about, the people who are like family brought into your homes. And so he takes Peter and he brings him into relationship again, and he charges him to do what he's done. And Jesus knew the power of the resurrection. He knew the risen Jesus, and the risen Jesus is forgiving him. Sometimes it's hard to forgive even ourselves for what things we've done, never mind the belief that Jesus could forgive us. We see Thomas, and Thomas says, "I won't believe," because he missed the first time when they saw his hands and feet, and he says, "I won't believe it until I see his scars." You see, Thomas so wanted to believe it. It was just too good to be true. Sometimes things are so bad, we feel like we're in a dream, and we wish we could wake up, and that which had happened had not happened, that person hadn't died, that person hadn't gone through some suffering, or we hadn't. And now Thomas feels like he's awakening from his nightmare, but it's not a nightmare or a dream. It's real. And when he sees Jesus and Jesus says, "Touch me, sees the wounds, he knows that Jesus is risen because those wounds of Jesus felt like his own. He saw the pain of it all. And we move on to John. And John came and he raced the fastest. He was an A-type. Probably would have been an executive at Ford. He races the fastest. He gets to the tomb first. But then he stops, catches his breath, and is checking everything out while Peter passes him. He goes into the tomb finally, but nothing happened to Peter. And he sees the grave cloths. It says he saw, the Greek word is he perceived, he got it, that Jesus was not there. The body was not there any longer. The term it uses for being in place is, I shared once before with you, it's kind of like, have you ever seen a glove? It stayed in the position it was like when the hand was there. It's like there's no hand in there, but the glove is in there, and he looks at the grave, and he looks at the grave cloth, and it's like he came through the grave cloth, and it's like still in place. Only Jesus is not there. And he realizes that Jesus is there, even before he sees him. Even before he sees him. He realizes that this God who loved him still loves him. And then when he sees Jesus with the others, he celebrates and he proclaims and he senses the presence of God, and it has changed him once again. We're not going to sing the hymn, but there's a hymn entitled, I Know Whom I Have Believed, or Have Believed, and Am Persuaded that He is Able to Keep That Which I've Committed Unto You Against That Day. In the Civil War, a person in Confederate prison had lost his arm. And the prisons of the Civil War, North and South, were not nice places. And he wrote that hymn, I Know Whom I Have Believed. And it was as if God was there with him, because he was. A dying woman who had one of these diseases that ravages not only the body, but the mind, was sharing with her pastor that she knew she faced death. And she didn't fear it so much because she said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. A verse in the scripture. And then, as she said this, she said to the pastor, though priest, please pray that I not forget those words. That I not forget his presence. And as the disease progressed, she'd lose a little bit of the verse as the time progressed. And so soon it was, I know whom I have believed. I know whom. And as she lay dying, she turned to the pastor and she said, whom? She believed because the risen Christ was with her.